A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod, your home for Detroit Tigers opinions, discussion, nonsense, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Alex Urban.
Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined by Alex Urban. Alex, turning the microphones back on. It's been a couple years. Back in the studio, so to speak.
Jordan, I am so jazzed to be talking baseball with you. Hope is eternal. Spring is eternal. And I'm excited for this upcoming Tiger season and to spend some time with you this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's been, for anyone that's been paying attention to Tigers baseball at all, it's been a rough, I mean, what, we're pushing 10 years now? We might as well jump into the history of it all. If you're hearing this, there's a pretty good chance that you were a Podcastianos listener. Eric, Wayne, and I did this show for, 6-7 years, kind of off and on as life kind of dictated to us. Eric, love Eric. He, he has things going on in his life. It's very difficult to record a show once a week. So Eric is stepping away, and Alex is subbing in, and we've been asked for, 5, 6, 7 years now. When are you going to replace the name? Nick Castellanos is gone. He's hitting deep flies to left at different ballparks, and I think it was time. Rebrand and eat 'em up. It's going to be a new show, new era, and like we're starting to turn a corner. Like it was time. It's time to come back. Time to re-fall in love with the Tigers. It's time to do this.
I think you'd hit the nail on the head. And I think when we were talking about putting this show together, you had described your feelings toward the team as apathetic for the last couple of years. It's a slog to watch, right? Like it's an inferior product. You kind of understand like what you're going to see for the season, but like rooting for a team that doesn't really have any kind of competitive hope to make the postseason or make any kind of run it's a tough go. But now we might be on the precipice of doing something here. There might be a little fire to the smoke that's happening at Comerica Park, and I think it's a good time to reinvigorate this podcast. And I got some big shoes to fill from Eric, but I'm really excited.
Size 16s. Yep, definitely. So I think maybe let's lay out a little bit of a vision. We'll get into talking Tigers here shortly, so hang with us. But I mean, if you were listener to the podcast now, as you know, we're not going to like spit advanced statistics at you. Like that's not our game. There are plenty of other podcasts that do it extremely well, and that's something that if you're into, I can't recommend enough some of the other Tigers pods that are out there. We're going to be more chill, just a couple fellas talking baseball, like what you would do with your buddies. Just we happen to turn some microphones on.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, I mean, my goal for this is for us to basically just talk about the team that we love. You know, think of this as if you were walking into a bar and you were, listening to a couple friends talking about the Tigers, the baseball season, what's exciting about the team, and you join in that conversation. So We're really not trying to be anything that we're not. You and I are not baseball analysts by any means. We're just two guys that pay attention to the team, pay attention to the minor leagues, pay attention to what's going on, and we talk about it. So if you're here along with us for the ride, thank you very much for joining. We hope that we can become your friends through your earbuds here on a weekly basis, and really appreciate all the listeners that have submitted questions, and we're going to have some fun this season. So,
yeah, I've kind of long felt that like podcasting is about community building. Like if we're not all kind of having fun doing this, like what's the point? So hopefully have some laughs along the way, and good transition. The Tigers, this Tigers podcast is obviously named after, named in honor of a true Comerica Park legend. For those that aren't aware, maybe fill them in a little bit about where we got our inspiration.
Yeah. So if anybody spent any time around Comerica Park, you know, entering the stadium, you'd likely seen James Van Horn, the Eat 'em Up Tigers guy with the foam Hulk hand, who was just a lifelong Tigers fan. I didn't know him personally, but I did a little bit of research. But I mean, he was just a fabric of the Detroit Tigers fan community. I think he was a fan favorite for sure. And we sadly lost him a couple years ago due to a hit and run incident. But this podcast is respectfully named after everything that he stood for in terms of just being a fan out there all the time. So eat him up, Tigers, baby.
Eat him up, Tiger. Eat him up. Eat him up, Tiger. Eat him up.
Yeah. And I feel like going back to, I don't know, early teen to, you know, kind of through college, like when you finished a game and you went outside, he was there. It's a very visceral, you know, they say that smell is like the biggest sense for memories, but I feel like kind of hearing the voice when I was looking on YouTube, like it very much takes me back to a certain era, of, yeah. A lot of times good, and before that, a lot of times were bad. But yeah, that's a staple. That's for sure. So
I hope we're going to do him right by this podcast. And James, I hope you're looking down on this team with smiles and good luck for this season.
Well, should we talk some ball?
Let's talk ball, Jordan.
Hi, Tigers fans. It's Dan Dickerson, and you're listening to the Eat 'em Up Pod with Jordan and Alex. Go Tigers!
All right. Spring is upon us. We've got, we're about halfway through the spring training schedule at this point. We looked at maybe starting a little earlier, but the baseball season is so long that it probably doesn't make sense to spend a lot of time talking about the games that don't even matter. But let's start with some guys that have caught our attention for good or for ill so far this year. I'll start the guy that has grabbed my eye the most, and I feel like he's low key becoming a Twitter darling, is Andy Abanez. Mm-hmm. He was okay last year. Like he was good. He was, I would say, a plus contributor to the team. Dude is just destroying the ball this spring. They don't have a whole lot in the way of like hard hit rates when it comes to spring training. But it has to be through the roof. He is barreling up everything. He legitimately has been one of the best players in Grapefruit League. You know, take that for what it's worth. But Grapefruit League play, I was skeptical, especially last year. I thought that he was like, oh, yeah, that's a dude. Like, Zach McKenzie. Like, we have such a long history of Andy Abanez's, Andrew, like, literally I mean, most of the players we fielded in the last 8 years, I'm maybe starting to see a little bit.
You know, Andy Abanez is delightfully surprising me. I know he finished the season quite strong last year, but he has come on with a vengeance this spring. And I think he is hungry. And I think he's trying to prove a point that he deserves a spot on this roster. And there might be a spot for him on the everyday roster, more than a super utility role. I really like what Scott Harris has done this offseason in terms of building the team from the ground up. At the very least, they're going to have a strong bench and going to have more depth than they have before. But he's knocking on the door for some pretty regular playing time, and he is quite literally hitting the cover off the ball this year.
And that's the thing, like when we signed Urshela, like there were so many people that were calling for Matt Chapman, which I mean, I feel like that's a whole other pod, that whole discussion, that got a little heated on Twitter. But it's not exactly like we were devoid of options completely. You got, you know, some of the guys kicking around the minor leagues that were ready to come up. Abanya's kind of low-key becoming a thing. I think it'll be interesting to see the playing time distribution between him and Urshela. I really do think that both will make the team, and I think there's a pretty good chance that both will, like you say, run into some pretty good playing time. Just because we always get so caught up in like, all right, who's like the opening day third baseman? I mean, they're both going to play a substantial amount of third base.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to hand the keys over to Gio Urshela as the everyday starting third baseman. I know there is probably somewhat of a platoon plan, but I do like that there's some options there. I was extremely skeptical to go into this season having just Ibanez, McKinstry, and Matt Fielding be your options at third base. But adding Urshela to the mix and then seeing as how Ibanez is hitting the ball this spring, you know, it gives me a little bit of confidence. I still think that they could upgrade at that position in the long term. I think that ultimately Andy Ibanez is a nice story and he's going to be a nice bench piece, a nice platoon player. I really like what I'm seeing this spring, but go ahead and make me eat crow, kid. Like hit and hit well, hit consistently and go claim that job. And, you know, they're going to sprinkle around the infield. He's a very versatile player, but I love what I'm seeing so far.
And it's kind of nice to have a little bit of bench depth. Like it's been for so long that as soon as you get off, you know, you hit the bench, it's Harold Castro and Victor Reyes. Like having somebody that with a little bit of thunder, even if we don't use him in the starting lineup, like that's what good teams do. I mean, they have more than 9 good hitters. We've struggled for 9 hitters for basically as long as I can remember at this point.
I don't know if people will hate this, but the way that they're building the team right now reminds me just a little bit about the Lions, about that first year under like Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, how they said they're pouring the foundation. The Tigers are building this team from the bottom up right now, and you're not going to see any splash signings, but perhaps, you know, just that upgrade in talent on the bench around the diamond, you know, people that can look and feel the position rather than just the players that you were throwing out there. You know, maybe you can build a little bit of momentum in the next season or the following, you can make those big splashes. But I like what they're doing. I'm cautiously optimistic that way. But I know we're going to get into how you feel about the season overall. When I say cautiously optimistic, that's you. I'm still a little cautiously pessimistic in terms of how the overall season is going to go. But we will get into that a little bit.
Who's caught your eye?
I think that this is a little bit of an easy answer, but Tarik Skubal's throwing the hat over.
He sure is.
I am looking for him to make that next step this season and be the number one guy, the ace on the mound, that you are counting on him to deliver every single fifth day. And I think he's given me no reason to doubt that moving forward. In terms of the offensive side of the ball, Ibanez is probably my number one choice. But then, you know, I have to look at how much the spring training numbers really matter. I mean, Eric Haas looks like an MVP candidate over Milwaukee. And you know my feelings.
I'm not laughing at Eric Haas. Just the whole thing is funny.
I was ready to run him out of town last year. I think he's a great guy, but he was putrid at the plate. Not good behind the dish, but Tarik Skubal is my guy this spring so far. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up. I tweeted out not too awfully long ago, but you can get him. Not that everything comes back to sports gambling, but you can get him at plus 3,200, 32-1 to lead baseball in strikeouts. I think that's live. I really like that.
It's some good juice. This is not a betting podcast, but that's some good juice.
I mean, we haven't had a starter with the stuff that he has in Verlander. Like, it just is next level, and I love it.
Really? That's exactly what I mean about him. I'm ready for him to take that next step and be somewhat of the face of the franchise. At the very least, he has to be the face of this starting rotation, and he has to lead the younger guys coming up, lead the guys that came in with him, and then, you know, be complimented by the Kenta Maedas of the world. You know, Jack Flaherty, who knows what we're going to get with that. But he's got to be the guy that when – other fans and other organizations think of the Detroit Tigers, they think of Tarik Skubal.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like already knocking on wood, but for me, it's all about health. If he stays healthy, I'm pretty confident that he's going to make that step. I don't think there's any question that that the stuff is there. I mean, we saw it for long stretches last year. Always with the health.
Arguably the best pitcher in baseball when he came back from the injury last season.
Yeah.
And if he can carry that over, and you bring up a great point, health is a huge question mark with him. Mm-hmm. If he can sustain it, he can be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, not just the American League.
I want to talk about another pitcher who's had himself an interesting spring, but honestly, a spring that I've loved. Casey Mize. Mm-hmm. He is a, would you say he's a divisive figure around these parts?
I'd say so. I think in the height of people paying attention to this team, he would be very polarizing. I think for the diehards, you know, they're paying attention. I mean, he was a 1-1 pick, right? So there's extremely high expectations, but he is at the very least intriguing, you know, in that sort of battle for the roster spot between himself, Matt Manning, and Reese Olson.
So did a little, what do they call it, back of the napkin math. He has thrown, so his last start or his last appearance, the StatCast didn't have anything for, but in his previous two outings, he went 32 for 41, which is almost 80% of his four seamers were 95 and above. That's velocity that like he just didn't have before Tommy John. Over half of that was above 96. Like he's actually throwing some real smoke. Right now, I don't care about the results, which I guess is good because the results have certainly been mixed. And I honestly don't even really care about command yet. Like command is obviously like that's what we're building towards. But like he's a ways off Tommy John, but he didn't throw it all last year. Like this is all this is like his first re-entry into competitive pitching. And give me stuff like that. That's all I want to see right now is the stuff being back. And it certainly looks to be, establish the fastball, you know, get the command right. But like you say, he was a 1-1 guy, the pedigree of being able to find the feel for that fastball command to come back to, like it's going to be there. I'm way more in on Casey Mize now than I've been. Maybe even since his debut, like when he made his debut, I think it was against the White Sox. It was like, I think he went 3 or something. He was wildly inefficient and you could see like, oh, there's definitely something to work with there. And then just like slowly but steadily, we kind of lost faith, lost confidence. I'm right back there. I'm back in.
I'd love it. I mean, if he could turn into any sort of a positive for this team, that's it's absolutely huge in terms of what you can do with him and what he's going to provide to the team this year. I mean, I think the pitching staff has, specifically the starters, really could come into the year strong. And if he could be a very reliable number 4 or number 5 and throw with a little bit more velocity, like you mentioned, and have the command, I mean, that is like signing a serious free agent. And kind of pick him out of nowhere. Because, I mean, frankly, I had given up on him. I thought that it was, I mean, not for any reason other than just injuries, but I thought, you know, this, you know, he took 2 years off of baseball. He's 26.
Yeah, so it's tough to do.
We don't see guys bounce back and revitalize their career in a huge way. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I like what I've seen this spring. I mean, throw results out the window. I just want to see how the guys are throwing. Right. Like if you've lost every spring training game, it wouldn't shock me too much. But he has potential to be a big cog in this team this year. But, you know, is he the question for me? Is he going to open the season as a starter? Or is he going to get knocked down to Toledo?
Yeah, not that anybody would necessarily ask my opinion, but I would love to see him out in the bullpen to build himself back up. I'm not sure that I think at this point Toledo is probably doing him much good. Like it would just be reps, which I mean, I guess there is something to that. But I don't foresee him having a whole lot of like lengthy stints early in the year. I feel like I'm actually talking myself into maybe I want him to be set down. I do want him throwing every, honestly, like out of the bullpen every third or fourth day. Like I think that's the play. But it will be all expectation management. I feel like I'm all the way in at this point. I've completely talked myself into I want him at AAA, because if he breaks camp with the team and gets shelled a couple times out of the bullpen, people will be ready to run him out of town. And like there's probably gonna be some blow up blow up stints for him. Like he's still working through things. I guess maybe I'd rather have those at Toledo. I mean, not that Harris has really shown that he's willing to bow to public pressure anyways, but I'd still rather them be out of the public eye because we're all dicks.
How do you feel about a potential piggyback situation with him and Matt Manning or another pitcher?
I love it. I feel like it was really working for a while and we kind of stopped. So I guess I don't necessarily think I have a whole lot of faith that they're going to like go back to it, but I don't have an issue with it. Like, starters don't have to go six innings. Like, we can do creative things, especially when you have guys like Hinch and Fetter. But how do you feel?
I'd be into it. Whether he starts on the major league club or in Toledo is somewhat, it doesn't matter too much to me, at least at the beginning of the year, because I just want to see him get reps. I want to see what he can do, you know, in pressure situations when it actually matters against, you know, real hitters. And then go from there. I'd love him to start on the major league club just out of curiosity so I can watch him more.
Yeah, definitely.
The longer term play is to have him start at Toledo just to, you know, build up that repertoire and stretch him out a little bit more and whatever it is. I'm fine with that too. But I'm excited to see him. I like the piggyback move. I love, you know, getting creative like that and doing different things. I think when you have Chris Fetter, you can do anything. And if I can give another Lions comp, I've often thought that Chris Fetter is akin to Ben Johnson with the Lions, where you have offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have one of the best minds in the game in terms of like somewhat of an assistant coach. So utilize him and kind of let him take the reins and do what he wants to do. So if Chris Fetter is saying that he wants to do the piggyback with Casey Mize and Matt Manning, or if he wants him to start in Toledo, I am going to say, great, let's do it. Because who am I?
I like it. I'm 100% there. Whatever he says, I'm down for. He has more than earned that for sure.
Yep. Absolutely.
Anyone else catch your eye? I got one more I find pretty interesting, but if you have anyone else.
Javier Baez is I don't want to say concerned. So here's where I'm at with Javier Baez. I am willing to go into the season with a completely clean slate in terms of expectations.
Oh, that's very magnanimous of you.
I think that everything that I've read over the offseason is exactly what I want to read, that he's getting his body right, he's getting his mind right, he's put in the time. You know, spring training stats are you know, almost fool's gold, right? Like, a guy could absolutely tear the cover off the ball in the spring and then he doesn't show up in the regular season and vice versa, but it is a little bit concerning that he has had such a slow start. That said, like, I, you know, I got a blank slate going into the season, but I mentally, in terms of my own sphere of influence, which is all of talking to you, he has a short leash in my mind, right? Because if you are going to be a glove only player, we have plenty of those guys in the minor leagues knocking on the door who make 1/100th of the contract that you. Ryan Kreidler is an impact defender who can play short, and I wouldn't be afraid to bench Javier Baez in favor of Ryan Kreidler to send a little bit of a message, because we know this guy, when he's motivated, can hit the ball. I mean, what was it, the Blue Jays series when he had the tag up issue and Hinch benched him for a couple, he was like an MVP caliber player for the next week. So it's all, in my mind, it's all mental with him. I mean, yeah, like the bat speed has slowed down, but like, if he wants to be that guy, he can be that guy. It's just he can't ever seem to put it together mentally. So that is kind of my player that's sticking in my craw a little bit this spring. I'm not going to on the guy because, like I said, completely blank slate once we get to opening day, but mark me down as concerned. Yourself.
I have an alternative take. I think he's obviously been trying his best, as all professional athletes do. I want to see him take a different approach. I want him to stop trying to worry about being a good all-around hitter. I want him to try to hit the ball out the ballpark every single at-bat. I think the ship has sailed on him ever giving us a batting average that's respectable in any way. He's never going to walk. That's obvious. Go up there and try and run into one 30 times in the year. If you hit 190 with 30 homers, I mean, it's not great, but it's certainly better than what we've gotten before. I mean, clearly that's not going to happen. That's not exactly how baseball works, but I mean, there's worse ideas.
I agree. I mean, just be better than what essentially Adam Everett was back in the day, right? Like,
That's a name I haven't heard.
I'm telling you, man. Like, you were probably the coolest looking guy in the game, but like the most disappointing in my. But yeah, if he can just somehow find that power again, I don't care about the average. I mean, I do. I don't care about the OBP, but I do. But in terms of Javier Baez, just hit it over the fence, man, and play good defense. But absolutely. But if the power continues to be zapped and is non-existent, and he's just like another guy in the lineup, we're going to have to start having conversations, I think, after this season. This season,
he was a power guy. Where did that go? That was his calling card early.
Maybe he believes in the Nick Castellano philosophy that the fences are too far in Comerica Park. Although
I'm sure he believes it at this point.
Any better since they brought him in, to be honest with you.
I think everyone believes that. I think it maybe is a little part of the problem. Just looking at his stats, 267 base last year. That's a staggering, staggering number. The only other name I wanted to mention before we can kind of get into a little bit more philosophy, Joey Wentz. I know he's in theory in a competition to start. I am convinced this man is a impact reliever, and I am completely cool giving up on the starting experiment and just. Like, he's striking out more than a batter an inning. His walk numbers are hot. Like, all of the things that really good strikeout relievers have, like, he has that profile. And starting has not been kind to him. I'm ready to roll with that.
I've been a huge Joey Wentz fan since they got him in the deal from Atlanta. But I agree. I think the time is now to go see what he can do in the pen. He's been a complete gas can as a starter. So much so that I don't think you can run him out there anymore.
Yeah.
And pretend like you are a competitive ball club. Unless, like, you know, worst comes to worst and everybody on the staff got some kind of an illness and he was the only one available. But yeah, let's see what he can do in the bullpen. I like the competition in the bullpen this year, and I think he could be a piece. I mean, he's got stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't been able to put it together yet.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been harping on this for years, but like, good teams take failed starters and make them into good relievers. Like, that is what all kinds of Dodgers and Rays and imitatable teams do. I mean, that could be us. I'm more than willing to roll that dice. You ready to go?
Michael Fulmer before his arm pretty much completely gave out on him.
Yeah, there you go.
So beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, like Shane Green, we kind of did that with. I mean, to.
Do you remember
actually
Shane Green? Woo, his first couple stars of the Tigers, I thought we had a perennial Cy Young guy, which was wildly early to make any kind of mental prediction like that. But I was like, yep, this is a dude. And I got a buddy who's a Yankees fan. He's like, I can't believe we gave him up. And I was like, oh, we got something cooking here. And then just, man.
Did we give up Robbie Ray in that deal? Was that a three-way?
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, all right. I'm not going to. Sure. All right, so let's move on to a little bit of theory. You're looking at, you know, obviously we're all looking at box scores every single day. We're listening to Dan when we can. We're watching the TV when we can. How much do you put into spring performances? I specifically like to go back to your Eric Haas killing it in Milwaukee thought.
Very little. I mean, I think the fan in me gets excited when you see a guy absolutely killing it. But in terms of actuality, not too much. Like, individual performances, how they look swinging the bat, how they look in the field, you know, way more so than how the box score is actually showing. Like, if a guy is just hitting absolute missiles, but he's hitting it to guys in the field,
yeah,
it's going to get me as excited as if he's, you know, hitting triples and doubles and doing great in the spring. So I don't put a lot of stock in spring training, especially this early. I mean, we're recording this on March 12th. There's already been, what, 2-3 weeks of spring training. We've got
something
at least
like
two
that, yeah,
weeks before the first game. So spring training is just so incredibly long. And I think it takes some guys longer than others to get going. I mean, look at Kenta Maeda. Like, his velocity has been down, but his camp has said that he just really doesn't throw in the winter and it takes him a while to ramp up. So I need to see how guys are looking once we get closer to opening day and in the first, you know, 40 games of the season before I really put much stock in anything. I'd love for them to, you know, absolutely be crushing it, but at the same time, I got to temper my expectations if they're doing very poor or very well.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like I usually use numbers for confirmation bias. The things that I think that are that things that I go into camp thinking and then I see it happen on the field, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And the things that I think that aren't borne out by, I'm like, oh no, that you can't take spring training seriously. I mean, that's pretty much how I use it. It's largely just personal. But honestly, going back to Javi, and even I'll even throw Torque in this because Torque statistically hasn't had a very good start to the year. I mean, Javi, like, he is what he is. Like, at this point, he's just not a particularly good player. But like, I don't have any major issues with how they're going. Like, they're all still working stuff out. Yeah, I'm no real concerns.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you there. I'd like to say, based on what Javier Baez said in the offseason in terms of getting himself right, he would come out swinging a little bit better. But again, go back to let me see it on the field when we're really keeping track of games, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, definitely. We kind of alluded to it a little early. I feel like we kind of take a little bit of a different approach to our optimism levels coming into this year. I'm by nature a fairly optimistic person. I don't know if you are a cautiously pessimistic person across the board or not, but yeah, I'm definitely a little optimistic coming into this year.
And I am in turn a little cautiously pessimistic, and I'm usually a pretty optimistic person, but I feel like you know, Charlie Brown with the football, and this organization has been Lucy a few too many times. So there's just a lot of question marks going into this season, and a lot of what I think of as like just clinging onto hope and hoping that it works before I'm ready to say, yeah, I think they can compete for this division. I think the division is wide open if everything goes right, but you know, you are really hoping for a lot in terms of Colt Keith coming right up and swinging right out of the gate and being an impact player. You know, there's still questions at third base in terms of what offensive profile is going to be. And frankly, this has been one of the worst offensive teams the last couple seasons, and they haven't added that proven impact bat that's going to make me say, okay, this year is going to be different. I think the pitching is going to be better, but if you can't score runs, it's all kind of a moot point. So that's where I'm at with it. I do expect steps forward from Torkelson, from Green. I like the Mark Hanna addition. I think he's a high OBP guy, but it all has to click. And there's enough question marks to make me pause a little bit and be like, okay, well, what if it doesn't? And the worst thing that they can do in my mind is just fall on their face yet again in April and dig themselves in a hole, because I tend to agree with the old adage. You can't win the division in April, but you sure can lose it.
Yeah. And we have lost the last several Aprils. We've just been done, which is fun when you have six more months of baseball after that. Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's like astute analysis to say that it is going to take a lot of things, like specific things going right for it to happen. I think the biggest thing is the step forward from Riley and Torque. Like, those two have to become Riley and Torque in all caps, the guys that we assumed. I think if Torque doesn't lead the team in, let's go with slugging. If he doesn't lead the team in slugging, it's probably not going to be a particularly great season. Riley obviously has had some health issues. He needs to stay healthy. We need Parker Meadows to be kind of what we think Parker Meadows can be. But there's depth in the starting pitching that we just haven't had before. There's depth in the bullpen that, quite frankly, we haven't had in recent memory. Bringing back Chafin, I don't dig his vibe, like the whole like big country thing. It's kind of grating on me, but like, you know, he gets guys out, and we need step forward from guys like Foley and Lang. Like, it is asking for a lot, but for the first time in a long time, like, it's within the realm of possibilities that all of these things actually could happen.
And I hope they do. And there's no reason they can't. I mean, if this organization's serious about the players that they believe in and the players that they are trotting out there as the future faces of the franchise, they should absolutely be competitive through this summer and marching towards at least a strong finish towards the division. I don't think that a wild card is going to be in reach just in terms of how strong the other divisions are right now. So if you want to make the playoffs, you're going to have to win the Central, right? So like you said, Torkelson's going to have to be a high OBP slugging home run guy. Riley Green, I'm going to need to see almost a full season out of you without getting hurt. And if that means you're not crashing into, you know, the walls and making these spectacular catches and settling.
Maybe DH in a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. Parker Meadows, are you going to, you know, be anything at the plate, which I think he will be, provide stellar defense? Is Jake Rodgers going to keep up his, you know, high slugging percentage and hit the crap out of the ball? And what is the pitching staff going to hold up? So, you know, if all those things happen, which I think is realistic in the realm of possibilities, sure. But I need to see it. I'm ready to put my stamp of approval on, hey, let's go get it this year.
Again, not a gambling podcast, but Vegas has our team win total at 80.5. So 80, not a math guy. 81 is 500, right?
Yep.
162. Yeah. I'm taking the over. I don't think there's any reason that we can't be a 500 baseball team.
I love it. I'm going to take the under just for a gentleman's net air, you know, lunch bet or something. But gosh, I hope that is the case this year, because I'm ready to watch some competitive baseball. Here's a word for you: plucky. If you
plucky,
that
yeah.
plucky team, that team that's kind of just in annoying the sides of the teams that are leading the division and in the rest of the baseball, where teams are like, yeah, I really don't want to play the Detroit Tigers. They can really sneak up on you. Instead of just rolling over in most of these games, that is going to be a huge step forward for me.
I'm going to just raise my own personal expectations, and hopefully somebody that's listening is also. You know who wanted to be plucky going into last year? The Arizona Diamondbacks. They have a big-time front-end starter, some other guys. Corbin Carroll was about to make his debut. All of a sudden, baseball's a game where a couple things click, and all of a sudden you're in the World Series. I'm not insane. I'm not going to say that we are this year's Diamondbacks. But there's a world in which the paths look similar, especially considering not every year has a Diamondbacks. But there is a chance the paths could look similar. And I want to go on record as saying that before the season starts. Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to completely agree with you on that. All you have to do in baseball is get in, because it's not how you play. It's when you play. Or however.
That's right.
Because if you get hot at the right time, this team, absolutely. If everything clicked and went right this season and they got hot going to the playoffs, sure, you can knock off anybody. And I would love to see it. And I'll be completely behind them. So, yeah, just get in, baby. And I will be overjoyed, thrilled, and eating crow if they end the season going into the playoffs as the AL Central division winners.
And honestly, like you said, if we don't win the division, we're not getting in, because the division is so much easier to win this year. So at least we have that going for us.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
We talked a little bit about Riley and Torque, so we kind of, let's zoom through this a little bit, but like, we're entering a pretty crucial year for what I kind of think of as like the first returns of the great rebuild. Like, we made some, I would go as far as say extreme mistakes in kind of the initial stage of the deconstruction and then the immediate aftermath. But these guys are like kind of the first green shoots that largely will determine if the next 5 years are any better than what we've had. So you got Riley and Torque, maybe we'll talk about this week, and then the three arms of Manning, Mize, and Scooble that are entering year four. Maybe we'll talk about them next week. So what are your realistic expectations for these two this year? It's an extremely broad and difficult question, but I'm just going to lay it out there for you.
No, yeah. I think what we talked about earlier, Torkelson has to lead the team in slugging percentage and has to be a high OBP guy. And Riley Green, I have all the belief in the world in his ability. You just have to stay on the field. I think if Riley Green stays on the field, it's a completely different ball club in terms of what they can do. And I need to see at least 130, 140 games out of him. Because I think those two can kind of go neck and neck in terms of hitting the ball out of the park, keeping a high average, high OBP, OPS. And they're really going to be the driver of your offense. You're going to have some guys that can get on base between Mark Canha, hopefully Parker Meadows. We'll see what we have in Cole Keith. Excited about him. Javier Baez. But those are the two guys that really, if this team is going to succeed, they have to take that next step forward. And
I think for Riley. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say they have to be really leading the pack in almost all of the offensive stats this season.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think my big hope for Riley this year is I want to see him in the three hole, not the leadoff spot, and not necessarily like just a lineup construction, but like make yourself into that three hitter as opposed to a leadoff hitter. I mean, obviously he's been very good in that spot for a while now, but I think there's more run production in that bat. I think there's a little bit more power in that bat. And if we move him there, you know, you're just going to get more out of that. I want those two hitting three and four every single day. And I think we're going to be able to replace his production at the top of the order a lot better than, like, if it's not him, who's hitting third? Like, that there's not an obvious choice. And I think you do have guys like Parker Meadows, Colt Key. Like, there are actually options to lead off.
One guy that we haven't talked at all about yet, Cary Carpenter.
Yes. Oh, honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of forgot about Cary Carpenter. I love Cary Carpenter.
He is somewhat of the redheaded stepchild of this group that has come up. I mean, he was a little bit behind the Torkelsons and Greens of the world, but he came up out of nowhere and has quickly established himself as a potential huge piece of this future core. So where do you see him hitting in the lineup, and what are your expectations for Cary Carpenter this year?
So if it were me, I would do my best to not let him see a lefty all season. Like I would hit him fifth behind Green, Torque, and then him, almost exclusively against righties. But, I mean, there's no reason that he can't do what he did last. Like, what did he end up with? Like just short of 30, something like that. I mean, there's absolutely no reason that he can't do that again. There's nothing in his stat line that suggested that was unsustainable. I mean, him hitting a consistent fifth would be a massive boost. Yeah, I think that's what I'm certainly assuming what they're banking on. And, you know, him getting back on the field these last couple of days has certainly gone a long way to reassuring me that the health is back. But
yeah, isn't that the biggest kick in the teeth as a player that you're really interested in seeing in spring, like yeah. Right out of the gate, just pulls a hammy or something like that? It's like, oh, of course. But I'd always rather to see that at the beginning of spring training than any time in the season, although injuries will come, right? So
yeah,
the guys in the minors, especially those couple that had told that weren't making a team right out of camp, they might have to be ready here.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we always spend the last couple of weeks of spring training like, oh, who's going to win these last couple of roster spots? But like, I mean, everyone, maybe not everyone, but way more than 26 guys are going to, and I'm using air quotes here, make the roster. Like that's just just how April works. And sometimes well beyond April, unfortunately. Right. I feel like I'm not willing to say put up or shut up for Riley, but I might be at put up or shut up time with Torkelson. Like really? It's time.
Okay. Yeah, so tell me a little bit more what that means.
To me, if he's not showing, there were serious building blocks to look at over the last, 2.5 months of the year. Like we've seen him do it kind of. Now I need to see it all the time. And if he's not going to be able to do it all the time, like, I'm just not sure that it's a bat you can count on in the way that we wanted. not saying that we're, you know, like toss him aside or anything like that, but just if he doesn't put up this year kind of how he ended last year, I think our time of like him being a major part of the franchise's future might be over.
Let me ask you a point blank question.
Mm-hmm.
Over under 35 bombs this year.
Oh, I will take over. I'm a believer. I think that it was sustainable last year.
Over 35 home runs, over under an 850 OPS.
I think it's a really good number. I'll take over. I'll take over. I want to see the walks increase, which I think they will, especially if Carpenter is behind him. Or I think his spot in the line, like, yeah, I'm gonna take over. Now I have to obviously have to pose the same question to you. 35 homers.
I think he can hit 35 homers. I think I believe what I saw in the latter half of the season. If you look at his minor league progression, he's struggled along the way. I mean, I remember being concerned about him in West Michigan when he got a slow start, and not the fact that, you know, he was going to be a bust, but just like, oh, this guy's struggling a little bit to you know, mm-hmm. acclimate himself. But he takes a little while to adjust at every single level, or he has. And then once he gets going, he's just mash and he rakes. So I think he can hit 35 bombs. The OPS is really the question for me, because he is somewhat of an all or nothing player. And I do want to see mm-hmm. him take that next step to be a little bit more well-rounded. And, you know, I don't have the stats to back this up, but I feel like in big moments, he hasn't come through. And I really want to see him come through with some really clutch hits this year. Like, if you got two men on, you are representing the third out in the inning, or you know, just breaking the game open or tying it, or you're down or something. I need Spencer Torkelson to be that feared bat that's going to come through and not just strike out or ground out, or, you know, God forbid, hit into an ugly double play.
Again, really, yeah.
For him this season, he needs to be the guy for me.
Yeah. Anecdotally, I completely agree. No, I don't have stats in front of me to agree, but yeah, his clutch gene so far has not been overly strong. So, but yeah, like you say, the OPS really has to come with the homers. Like, he's not Javi, where I'm fine with him selling out for power. Like, he has to be a well-rounded hitter if we're gonna do anything.
Yeah. And, you know, if I can be so greedy to say, we're a little bit of a improvement on the defense. Like, I think he's elite in whatever metric it is, I forget, but he's leading that one metric, but then, you know, definitely below average in the others. I would like to see him contending as a Gold Glove first baseman candidate, because I think he has the ability.
Yeah, there's no obvious reason why he can't. I almost want to say it's concentration. I don't know, but that's what it strikes me as.
Yeah. I mean, he's never been an elite defender. I don't think he ever will be an elite defender, but I mean, look at Jace Young, right? I always want to say Jung, but Jace Young was drafted as a guy that was considered a pretty rigid and poor defender, and he goes out and wins a Gold Glove at second base in the minor leagues. There can be improvement that happened. I think he's athletic enough to make that happen this year. And if he can hit those bombs, high OPS, you know, in the conversation for maybe one of the better defenders at his position in the American League, let's say it. You're talking about an all-star player. You know what? I'm going to go out and say it. He needs to make an all-star game this year.
That would be such a shot in the arm if that is the reality that happens. I'm going to agree with you. I think it happens. We're going to have to send somebody.
Yeah, and I hope this year that it's not just like the consolation prize of like whoever
Scooble,
was
yeah.
not garbage.
Chafin. Yeah.
Right, like how about we have two All-Stars for the first time in probably a decade? Is that too much for, like, you got your gimme, but then you got a guy, you know, Spencer Torkelson, one of the emerging best first basemen in the American League. I would love it, and that would be a boon for things to come for this organization, and a guy that you count on, to your earlier point.
Doesn't seem like it's been far-fetched.
I don't think so.
All right. Let's move ahead to things that are coming up this week. I love that you have in the notes more spring training games. Absolutely. that is what this week coming up has to offer. But there is one interesting thing that is happening on Saturday. And your boy will be in the house. I am ecstatic. I'm not going to lie to you. I planned this trip to Florida based on the breakout game. I am very excited. I'm not going to lie to you. Mostly to see Max Clark, but, you know, the other guys too.
There's some, like, really interesting names on this list of the prospect showcase for the Tigers. You know, we got Jace Young, McGonigal, Howie Lee, Max Anderson, Wenzel Perez, Santana, Trey Cruz, Luke Gold, Max Clark, Justice Bigby, who I think has the best name in the system, by the way. Roberto Campos, which, like, who is this masked man? Like,
yes, that's a great way of describing him. Yes.
I need to see anything from him, but he's just, like, the biggest question mark I've ever seen. Mm. And then, of course, from the pitchers, Ty Madden, Flores, Melton. But one name that is not included in this is Mr. Jackson Jobe, who was throwing absolute heat today in a minor. I mean, 102. That just, it got me going, George. I texted you right away. I was watching the game and I texted you immediately because this guy was just throwing straight heat, and it really got me excited.
You mentioned that maybe the gun was juiced, but even if it was, like, it's not going to be juiced more than like 2 or 3 miles an hour. Even if it's 2 or 3 miles an hour less, that's absolute gas still. Oh my gosh.
But tell me more. You're going down there. Tell me what you're most excited about, who you're most excited to see.
So I'm going to say some of the guys that I think of more as like mystery guys, McGonigal, Howie Lee, some of these guys that I've never seen before. Roberto Campos for sure. Justice Bigby is like, it's becoming hard to ignore the right-handed Cary Carpenter comp. Like, they're so similar. And if that were the case, that'd be pretty cool. Fun fact for nobody but myself, but I'm going to say it anyway. I actually saw, called a Justice Bigby game in the Northwoods League, semifinals with my 1 year with the Pittsbitters. He was league MVP. Yeah, he was unbelievable. Pittsbitters beat him, though.
Pittsbitters, baby. We actually, this is a total aside. We just got a Northwood League team here in the Metro Detroit area, the Royal Oak Leprechauns.
Oh, I like that.
13 and Woodward. So looking forward to seeing a Leprechauns game this season. Their little tagline is Roll Cons, you know, play on Alabama. So we'll see about that. But I'm going to adopt
like them that. As
team and, fire up Leprechauns.
Definitely. I'm going to have to, I'll swing your way. We'll have to go to a game. It's fun. Like, some of the guys that I called are now in the big leagues, which, like, I saw him play in front of 1500 people. I don't know. It's very cool.
That's one of my favorite things about the whole sport, right? Is you follow these guys from when they get drafted and they're kind of shuffling through the minor leagues, especially a guy like Justice Bigby, who didn't have the huge signing bonus or the name attached to him. He's just, going to the swing coach, trying to improve his game. And then he's just really making a name for himself and making some noise in the minors. Is he going to turn in anything at the major league level or even get there? Yet to be seen, but at the very least, it's a fun story.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And like you say, I genuinely hope he does. Like, that's, when kids are like him at 13, 14, 15, maybe a little under recruited, like seeing somebody like that, and you're like, you know what? I'm still going to put in the work. Like, I don't know. It's very cool. I'm excited to see Wilmer Flores. I've never seen him throw live. Ty Madden. So yeah, it should be super fun. I am not to brag. I'm four rows behind the plate. I am with my parents and Whitney, ecstatic.
Good, man. I mean, you're going down there. Why not get the premium seats?
That's the crazy thing is I think all tickets were $20, and I wasn't even like day of ordering tickets. There were so many left. I'm like, man, we need to pack this house. You need to go see the fellas.
Yeah. No. And at that price, why wouldn't you? Right. So
yeah, that's it was very.
I cannot wait for your report on this after the fact during our next
definitely.
Episode. See who looked good. I always think of these guys as kids, but they probably tower over me at the very least. So who's built like a brick house?
Yeah, it's always amazing to see the like 17, 18 year old kids with more facial hair than I can grow now. Like, yeah, we're different species, aren't we?
I mean, Max Clark is a full sleeve. I just think it's wild. He's an 18 year old kid. It looks great. He looks incredible. But that's just so wild to me.
Yeah. Yeah. The Max Clark experience is going to be interesting over these next couple of years. There's one of my good friends. So he's Indiana. He was an Indiana high school kid. And one of my good friends coaches a varsity team also here in Indiana. And he said that all of his kids were obsessed with Max Clark because all the stuff he was doing on like Instagram and whatnot. He's like, man, this kid's a baseball influencer. I'm like, awesome. That's just who I was hoping we were going to take instead of Wyatt Langford. But to his credit, he does also appear to be a dog and a grinder. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
He's got, I hope he's got that dog in him. Let's say that.
Well, I need if he doesn't, we'll find out, I'm sure.
Yeah. I need some serious middle of the order bat or top of the order bat for the number three overall pick when you pass on a bat like Wyatt Langford, to your point. Which, like, if you're a Texas Rangers fan, you just have to be besides yourself with how good you have it right now.
Yeah, yeah, must be nice. We're gonna get there. I have faith.
One day.
We'll see. Let's quickly round up some of the other things. Jace Young and Jackson Joe both told that they weren't going to make the team out of camp. Not sure that either of that is overly surprising. I feel like there was a little bit of people on Tiger Twitter thinking, like, what the heck is happening? But, I mean, that's just kind of how it works.
You know what's interesting to me is I read that Jace Young had planned to tell – AJ Hinch that he wanted to make the team out of spring training. And before he could even get it out or before they had the conversation, he was told that he wasn't going to make it. But I love that mentality. I love that, like, he, you know, he really wants to be in there and he wants to be the guy. So, you know, Jace Young, go mash in Toledo, go knock on the door. If Gio Urshela or Andy Banez or Zach McKinstry fire up chips, if they are struggling, your call might be sooner than later, my friend. And in terms of Jackson Jobe, I think way too early. I think he's going to be, you know, despite what we saw today, starting at Erie, make your way quickly to Toledo. But with the way this organization runs, we might see him at the very tail end of the season, but I'm not expecting him to be a true part of the plans until spring training next year.
Yeah, for better or worse, we are taking an extremely conservative approach with basically everybody. Like, that's just how it is. So, yeah, I'd low-key be pretty surprised if we saw him this year. Let's save Eddie Sleonard for next week, but there is need to give away the Tiger King crown for this week. We have made, I would say, the best acquisition of any team all off season long, bringing in Jason Benetti. I love the guy. He is the absolute best, and I'm already over the moon for him.
I think he's phenomenal. And to give the listeners a little bit of an update on this, every week we're going to name a Tiger King, which can be anyone from the rally goose to a player that is doing really well on the team. And Jason Benetti, I was so stoked when I saw this news. And no disrespect whatsoever to who we had previously in Matt Shepard, but I think it is just such a clear upgrade and someone that understands the game at such a high level. And he can really elevate the people around him. Like, Craig Monroe is seems like a great guy. I don't think he's a phenomenal color analyst, but I think Jason Benetti can bring, you know, the player analytics out of him and make the broadcast that much better. So, couldn't agree with you more. Out of everything that they've done this offseason in the last couple of years, bringing him on is a coup, especially stealing him from the White Sox.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. Suck it, White Sox. What are you going to do? Yeah. Should we move on to some listener questions?
Absolutely. I'd like to give a shout out to the listeners for asking some of these questions. So at Jordan Ryan 3, hey, Jordan, nicknames for Javier Baez. What do you got?
This is tough. First of all, Jordan Ryan is one of my best friends, and he's largely just an agitator. So I'm assuming that this was asked sarcastically. He has a nickname. He is El Mago. Has the Mago disappeared. I'm not exactly sure how that translates. Yeah, mostly. Not a great nickname giver, but I would love to be able to call him Home Run Javi. Like, that'd be fun. So far, not so good.
Yeah, I think we need to drop the El Mago, because he's went from like Harry Houdini to the guy who does balloon animals at your TGI. I mean, come on. I'm going to throw out there Ednell, which is his actual birth name, Ednell Javier Baez. I'm calling him Javier Baez, not Javi, until he proves me otherwise. Darn. And until he proves that he can be anything more than just another Gaez, if you will.
Yeah, there's a wordplay. Did I catch that there's two Javiers in his name?
Ednell Javier Baez, nickname Javi, and El Mago. Hmm.
I like Gaez, or just another Gaez, yeah. At Michael, or at Litzner, Michael Litzner said, what aspects of the city would you like to see in the City Connect jersey? Is it 313, Motor City, Motown, or something else?
That's a really good question, because I feel like the Pistons change their jerseys every year, and the Motor City is so tired. I'd really like to see something with Motown. I don't think any of the teams have done that yet. Or just something completely off the wall that we haven't seen yet. I'm definitely not a fan of any of the City Connect jerseys as of
really. No. Oh, I'm a huge fan. I probably have 5 City Connect hats.
Really?
Which is maybe more about my spending habits than anything else. No, but yeah,
I mean, to each their own. I think who's your favorite? Because I really like what Arizona did. But that's
fine. Yes, I definitely like them. The Kansas City, like, Fountain City type, I can't remember the exact, but the play on it, but the fountains with Kansas City and the Mariners one with, like, the upside down trident. I'm not exactly sure, that's like, how that plays into the city, but, yeah. I would love something like the Spirit of Detroit. I don't know, something based on him.
Yes.
But, not, yeah, I completely agree. The whole Motor City thing, like, don't put gears on there. That's going to look stupid. And honestly, like, based on our spring training hats every year, it's going to be terrible. Like, I have no faith that whatever we come up with is going to be good. The Old English D is as good as it gets. And anytime it's anything else, it usually is terrible.
How do you feel about the spring training hats this year? Because I'm on Reddit often, as you know. A lot of people like them, but I think they look horrible. Like,
I think they look super cheap. Yeah.
And it looks like just, you know, a sticker. And I don't like that logo anyway of the tiger's head.
Yeah.
It just screams like 2000s to me, early 2000s. But yeah, I think it was a complete miss this year. And they've had some decent spring training hats in the year when it's just like a different color on the D. I really like when they had the tiger stripes on the actual D logo, but this was just completely whiff. But I mean, what can you expect when they have these Fanatics jerseys and everything going on?
Yeah. We've made it like, what, 45 minutes into this episode without any mention of Fanatics. I'm proud of us.
So next question from N, I'm going to butcher this, Wisniewski. Who will lead the team in OPS this year, and who is our second most reliable pitcher after Skubal?
I'm going to go Mark Canha. And OPS.
Ooh.
I'm not entirely sure he'll get enough at-bats to qualify, but if we're just talking about, like, anyone, give me Canha. And the second most reliable pitcher is that is a heck of a question. Trying to think, like, if I had to start game two, I guess I'd go Maeda, but like it legitimately could be any one of like 5 different guys. I don't necessarily feel strongly. How about you?
I'm going to go Torkelson for OPS.
I hope you're right.
You're hoping. And let me throw a curveball at you. Reese Olson.
That might be the right call.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I'm going out on a limb, but I like his demeanor on the mound. He doesn't seem to get shaken up, and I think he can build upon his repertoire. And I love the story about just kind of a scrap heap trade asset that they got turning into something.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. That's the – if you, like, map it out, he is probably the best asset that we got in the David Price trade. It just took a long time to get there.
very long. A Haas divided, that's from Jay Piskwanek. I'm sorry again. In the time away, has Jordan started appreciating movies?
I mean, you know the answer to that. It's no. They're too long.
More questions from the same gentleman. Will Parker Meadows have over or under 20.5 steals?
Ooh, that's a good number. What do you think?
I'm going to take the under. I don't think they're an aggressive base stealing team, regardless of like his elite speed. So I don't think he's going to have the opportunity. And then, you know, factoring in, he's not going to swipe every single bag he attempts. I'm in the more of the 15, 16, 17 realm.
I got a prediction for you. I think he's going to hit more homers than he's going to have steals.
I like that prediction.
I think there's going to be a little thunder at the bottom of the order, assuming that's where he hits.
Yeah. So are you, does that mean you're under 20 and a half steals then?
Yeah. Yeah. I could see him hitting 20 homers. I don't think there's, like you said, I don't think there's probably a world where he steals 20 bags.
Okay.
But maybe there is a massive shift in philosophy. Kind of doubt it, but I mean, it's not impossible, but no, I don't, I think it'll be the under.
Sticking with the Parker Meadows theme, questions from Zach.
There's a lot of Parker Meadows questions. I like it.
Hey, I like it. I'm a big fan of the kid. What does a successful rookie year look like for Parker Meadows? If he's a plus at center field and in the 15 to 20 homer range, do you mind if he struggles to hit his weight?
No, definitely not. This might be simplistic, but I think ending the year as the established starting center fielder is success.
Well said. I agree. Just get get acclimated to the major leagues, be a consistent major league starter, and don't have a trip at Toledo, right?
Yeah, don't definitely.
Where you have to get sent down. That's what success looks like for me for Parker Meadows.
Yeah.
Robert Baker asks, any thoughts on how Casey Mize experiment ends up? Really don't think he makes it through the season given the contract shenanigans, which I do want to point out, I was disappointed with the organization that they were haggling with him over that, you know, I think it was $25,000 or
yeah,
something just absurd where, you know, it's not even worth the PR hit of making that public with the arbitration process. So I know we talked about Casey Mize a little bit earlier in the show, but your thoughts on him?
I don't think I think it's a terrible look, but I don't think that's really going to play all that big of a factor. I don't have any like hesitations. Like if he starts to show, they're going to make sure that he's signed long-term. They're not going to let a 1-1 that we've gotten virtually nothing out of walk away for free. They're going to take care of him if he shows anything. And that, like I said before, I think he will.
I totally tend to agree. From @_Troya, how do you see the bullpen shaping out long relief? Who gets the high leverage innings? Good question.
I'll let you take it first.
It's a very good question. I'm going to say long relief. Give me Sawyer Gibson long.
Nice. I like it. That's a deep cut, but I like it. I think he's got good stuff.
He might not even make the team out of spring, but I like his stuff. And I think that could be a decent role for him in terms of long relief. Not a, you know, back of the bullpen kind of guy, but I think he could be your Tyler Alexander of the present.
Yeah, there you go. I like that comparison.
How about you?
I feel like I'm just throwing up chalk here, but like, I think the bullpen is going to look very similar to what it looked last year. I think you're going to see Lang and Foley at the end of the games a lot. And I'm not like disappointed in that. I like Alex Lane, but do I think he's a high end closer? No, probably not. But we're also not like we need a high end closer to put us over the top type of team. I think we're just fine with where we're at. I like Miguel Diaz. I think he's going to find his way into high leverage situations as well. And like I said before, I think Joey Wentz is going to find himself in some pretty big spots this year too. At least I hope he does. So, and long relief, I think it's going to be a sliding door of I mean, we're kind of 10 deep with like kind of good longer guys. I think Faedo will be there some. Sawyer Gibson Long, definitely. Casey Mize probably will start there, if not down at Toledo. So yeah, I think that will be a revolving door. I have high hopes for the bullpen this year. I think the bullpen will be certainly good enough.
Good enough is all I think all we can ask for. And they don't have to be one of the best in the American League, but you know, don't melt down and we got something.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be the worst.
This week, and if we didn't get to you, I apologize. From Brian Byrne, would love to hear your thoughts on the top 30 list that came out. Obviously, we don't have time to get into the whole list, but I'd love to hear from you, Jordan. Who is your under-the-radar prospect for this season? And maybe not even in terms of fanfare, but who you're most excited to follow through the rungs of the minor league system this year?
I'm going to go – so I kind of have a deeper cut, or I guess a younger cut and an older cut. I want to see what Hyo-Yu Lee does. Didn't come over with a lot of fanfare. I feel like a lot of people were kind of disappointed when he was the return for Michael Lorenzen. But, like, he's just a really solid ball player. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot of weaknesses. I think he's the type of guy that if he didn't have Colt Keith ahead of him, he probably could move pretty quick. But I'll be interested. I think
in the Arizona Fall League, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Like there's a lot to like there. I'm sure he'll start at Erie, but he'll see Toledo before too long. And then my other guy is Kevin McGonigal. We made allusion to, dang, why didn't we take Wyatt Langford? But not taking him and taking Max Clark allowed us to take and sign McGonigal. And it sounds like there's a lot in that bat, and I'm curious to see what that looks like. So those are two of the guys that I'm going to be watching for. And also, like we mentioned this before, but Justice Bigby, like he's somebody that I check box scores for. As much of a nerd as that makes me.
No, and I am also a Professor Kevin McGonigal guy, and I'm a huge nerd. But yeah, McGonigal, I think I really liked what I saw, the little that you read about him while he was drafted. You know, they went and saved a little bit of money on the Max Clark deal. They signed him, which he was considered one of the best raw bats and had some of the best hitting tools in the draft. So can he come up and kind of be that 1-2 punch with Max Clark in the minor leagues? And then Keston Hiura, you know, the de facto first baseman at Toledo that they got from Milwaukee. You know, if anything happened to Torkelson, you know, God forbid an injury or something like that, he's going to be the first call up. And he's mashed in his past. He, you know, great rookie season in Milwaukee, really kind of fell off. But I think there's still a little bit of pop in that bat. And I'm wondering what he can do with a change of scenery.
Yeah, definitely. I think he'll get the chance to get a lot of at bats at Toledo, and you know, stranger things have happened. Like, look at JD Martinez. Not in any way saying that he is or will be JD Martinez, but like that was a guy that was completely written. Like, baseball is the game that lets Joe Mantiply find new life in Arizona. Like, it just can happen. But tying a bow on the whole, what'd you say?
Unsigned, by the way, JD Martinez still unsigned.
Yeah.
One can
I hope he finds a good spot. Just have like kind of one more ride. And I kind of hope it's not with us. But to tie a bow on the whole prospect thing, like the prospect list is deep. I've seen us in top 10 lists as far as like overall organizational strength. We had the big blossom with the guys that I mentioned earlier, kind of there again. Like it's nice that it wasn't just like a one-time deal. We're actually drafting and developing like real, and honestly, in some of these instances, trading for like actual real talent. And it's kind of nice. We should try it. We should have tried it a long time ago.
I totally agree. And that's it for listener questions, Jordan. I think we can put a wrap on this first episode. I think everyone who's listening along with us, probably a lot of friends and family to start. But I think we've got some good things cooking. I look forward to more conversation this season with you, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. If you don't already follow, hit the socials. We are Eat 'em Up Pod on both. Am I correct?
Yep, Eat 'em Up
All
Pod.
right, Eat 'em Up Pod. And you've actually been putting a little bit of content on there. I've appreciated that. I'm
I'm
not gonna
trying
lie,
to be
it
like them.
was dormant for the majority of all of the previous years. But you know,
We're gonna have some fun this season. Twitter, Instagram, please give us a follow. You are at
hosted by Jay Hall.
hosted by Jay Hall. I'm at A Urban 91, and I'd love to follow you back and have you along for the conversation this season.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
We'll see you next week.
Get him up, Tiger. Get him up. 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 Get him up. Get him up. Get him up.